بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وليد ابن المغيرة was amongst the philanthropists of the Quraysh. His yearly earnings revenue was approximately 10 billion yearly. His orchards used to extend right up to Taif. According to the historians, then there wasn't a time in the year where his orchards were not bearing fruit. So he was such a wealthy person. Allah Ta'ala blessed him. When Rasul-e-Pasam had commenced his mission, he had accepted Islam. Whether it was for convenience, whether it was earnest, honest and sincerity, or just for the convenience and just to pull the wool over the eye. Nonetheless, Abu Jahl had heard about Walid accepting Islam. He's amongst the wealthiest of the Quraysh. And he has accepted Islam, so that could impact negatively on the rest of the Quraysh, according to Abu Jahl. People generally have the tendency of following the ways of the wealthy amongst them or the educated. These are the two groups that people generally follow. إِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. When Allah Ta'ala wishes to destroy a people, then Allah Ta'ala first sends the Anbiya alayhi salam, then the Anbiya alayhi salam will work amongst people and amongst the more elite. The reason is obvious. If this elite class, if they accept, then it impacts favorably and positively on the rest of the crowd, because people look at them. Oh, this doctor, this Mulana, this Mufti Sahib, he accepted this, so it must be right. Or this wealthy person, he impresses upon so many other people, so many other people he influences. So they would look at him, and they would look at him as a role model. So if he does something, then they want to follow suit. So this is how people's minds work. أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. So Abu Jahl became very much afraid, and he went up to him, pulled up his face, and he says that we are thinking of making some collection for you. But now you need the handouts of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you have accepted him. So it seems like your coffers are all getting empty and you need some assistance, so we are thinking of making and arranging a collection for you. Now he felt very much embarrassed and said, what do you think? I need Muhammad. And then, na'uzubillah, he just rejected. So this was Walid bin Mughira. Allah speaks about him in the Quran Sharif. It's a lengthy, lengthy verse, but just some portions of this verse I would like to discuss. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. Allah Ta'ala says, we try them out like we try the people of the orchards. In those days, people would look at wealth through the farmlands, orchards, etc. Like how we look at factories today. They weren't these factories like you see today. So the amount of farmlands, orchards, man would have, then he would be counted so wealthy. So inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. Like we had tried the people of the orchards, we would try this Quraysh out. That they had so much they have. Right? Where people's caravans, trade routes are all becoming threatened, then this Quraysh having a very enjoyable business. They're moving on very freely, easily into any land they want. Their caravans, their business routes, their vehicles, everything is going freely, coming back freely, not being waylaid, not being hijacked, nothing. So they're enjoying so much. And then with all this enjoyment that we are granting them, then how do they respond? قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Wealth is coming and pouring in from all corners. And then not only wealth, but security. Man, when he wants to settle in any place, then these are the two things that he would look for. One is the prosperity and one is the security. These are the two features he wants to look at before he settles in any place. So Allah Pak granted them the best. Wealth also Allah Ta'ala is giving them, is just pouring upon them. And they got security as well. Now, you've got security, you've got wealth, then what else do you need? Then what stops you from respecting and obeying us? فَأَذَاقَهُ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, when you begin to falter, the system of Allah Ta'ala is that He doesn't arrest you straight away. He still grants you a chance, a respite. Unlike the worldly authorities, there you commit a crime and straight away you are gripped into punishment. So Allah Ta'ala grants you some respite, a little bit of respite, chance. He understands that we are weak, we are human beings, we are filled with faults and mistakes. One youngster, quite pious and righteous, used to frequent the masjid, going to madrasa, whatever else, frequenting the masjid. And normally, the person that is more pious, then Allah Ta'ala grants him a special nur as well. He becomes more attractive. People begin to become fond of him. Man kathurat salatuhu fil layl hasunat wajhu fil nahar. At night now, you are reading lengthy namazes, you are devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have a special type of a glitter on your face. Qalun is one of the imams of Qirat. And he was excelling. But he had no complexion, black in complexion. He had seen Rasulullah Pasam once. Perhaps Rasulullah had recited to him. But after that, he became so handsome that if you put the selected 10 beautiful, handsome people, then he'll be the most beautiful. No complexion. Just one look at Rasulullah and the recitation of the Quran Sharif, and it just brought a whole change. So this amal and these deeds, this taqwa and righteousness, they have the effect of their own. People look for beauty and attraction in other things, satisfaction and fulfillment in other things, whereas the fulfillment and satisfaction are in these things. You will find a simple illustration. You go into a house of a non-Muslim, you don't find the satisfaction. You feel a feeling of eeriness. You feel a feeling of fear, discomfort. And then you walk into the simple home of a Muslim, simple, maybe poor, below average, and he's just making ends meet. And you go into his home, and straight away you feel a feeling of satisfaction, feeling of fulfillment, feeling of being wanted. Don't you feel that? You feel that. If he's a respected Muslim, and he's got deen in his life, he's got taqwa and righteousness, then you feel like it's your own home. You feel so satisfied. You feel so good within you. Even if he extends a very simple meal before you, you feel the feeling of satisfaction. Here, outwardly you feel a satisfaction, but you don't really feel the satisfaction. Outwardly, the variety that is displayed before you, that makes you feel normal, you're honored, and you ate something. But here is real satisfaction. Real satisfaction, real happiness. So this happiness and this satisfaction is on account of the righteousness, the taqwa. And the taqwa, the very essence of taqwa, is one has the concern of Allah. Allah Pak is watching. He is watching me, no matter where I am, but Allah Pak is watching me. So as though wherever you are linked up. In the course of the week, someone came and asked me that wants to know the meaning of وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Fear Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will teach you. I explained to him that it's a lengthy explanation, lengthy illustration, but let me explain it to you as simple as possible. We are all simple people, so simple illustrations work better with us. Right. Look at a person that has got a navigating system within his car, right? So he's connected to some satellite. When he's connected to the satellite, that satellite is guiding him. 100 meters, take a right turn. 200 meters, take a left turn. Then walk, then travel again for 10 miles. Then stop here at a robo. Then you go on, move on straight. And this is the street that you're looking for. This is the name. So it gives you that precise direction. So exactly the same, you link yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will direct you. You link yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're doing everything else besides linking ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're doing everything. All the frills are there, all the thrills are there. But do we get ourselves linked to the one that has created us, the one that is responsible for us, the one that has given us all this compassion, this love, this mercy, and whatever we see within us, it's all from Him. Do we link up with Him? That satellite doesn't do much for us. But we just service it and it does so much for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what didn't He do for you? What didn't He do for you? And when He did the last thing for you, then don't you think that there is a need for you to link yourself up to the one that you started off your journey from, the one that you're ending your journey with, the one that is maintaining you, the one that is sustaining you, the one that is looking at every molecule, every cell within your body. He's in control of it. Don't you see the need to link up with Him? So this is the meaning of the verse, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. You have the concern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is watching. Mera khuda mujhe dekh raha hai. Allah ta'ala is watching me. I got a concern about Him. Sometimes we get consumed in the fikr, in the concern of other people. Primary thing is yourself. Then is the second person, the person, the others are after you. Your concern is a primary concern. Others' concern is a concern, but a secondary level, at a secondary level. You eat first, and then you look after the needs of the yatim and the poor. You don't keep yourself, you don't bring yourself to the level of starvation and feed others. Don't you do that. So similarly, exactly the same, first yourself. Then you ask, well, what about the Sahaba Kiram and Khulafa'i Rashideen? Didn't they interact, didn't they meet up with people? Yes, they interacted and they met up with people. But are you at the same level? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is discussing with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu at the time that Rasulullah has left the world and lots of people have turned away from Islam. Murtaddeen, Mani'een, Zakat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is trying to impress upon Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that this is not the right occasion for this. You are insisting that we send out the Jamaat of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu according to the instructions of Rasulullah, but we will do that. But is this the time? Don't you see the anarchy? Don't you see the wrong that is going on? Don't you see Madina Munawwara, what a pitiable state it is in? We will do that, but at some other stage, and we can appoint someone else beside Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. And all Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to do that was to strike him on the chest. A jabbarun fil jahiliyati wa khawwarun fil Islam. One strike. And Umar radiallahu was very strong, very well built. Imagine all the Sahaba ikram are in support of what Umar radiallahu is saying. Abu Bakr is one man. He is just one single person. And he strikes him like this. Now I ask you, with all your authority and your strength, if someone has to strike you like that and correct you like that, do you have the heart to accept? Do you have the heart to accept? So this was the level of Umar radiallahu anhu, right? Where he interacted and he met with people, but then you look at his level, that he was not in a position to compromise his faith at any cost for any person. If he felt Umar felt that Abu Bakr was not right, he would correct him. And if Abu Bakr felt that Umar was not right, he would correct him on the spot. Do you have that level, that capacity of accepting your mistake on the spot? Immediately someone corrects you, and corrects you in this way. And then look at the determination of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's determination at that spot, look at it. He is one man, one single person. And the whole Sahaba Ikram, everybody is against Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr says, no fear, no problem. With the least hesitation, no hesitation, nothing stopping my determination, I will go singly. Bring me my horse, I'll go singly. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And I was the person with Rasulullah on that day of the cave. I was with Rasulullah, And Allah Pak has promised and assured that Allah Ta'ala is with us. So when He says that He's with us, then He's with me all the time. Thereupon the Sahaba Kiram says, Ali Radhan said to him, Shim Sayfak wala tufji'na bi firaqik. Shim Sayfak wala tufji'na bi firaqik. Just imagine what level of love the Sahaba Kiram had for Abu Bakr. Ali Radhan says, please go and hide your sword, go and conceal your sword, and don't let us distress by your separation. We can't tolerate your separation. Now this statement is made to Abu Bakr by Ali radiallahu anhu, and the first person that made the statement to Abu Bakr was Rasulullah himself. On the occasion of Uhud, when there was the rumor that Rasulullah, na'uzu billah, is martyred, right? So Abu Bakr says, what's the point in living? When the Rasulullah is gone, now what's the point? And he came out in the open, brazen. So Rasulullah says him, Shim Sayfak, wala tufji'na bi firakik. Go and conceal your sword, keep it back. Please don't you distress us with your separation. You moving, we can't handle this. We see the love of Rasulullah for Abu Bakr, the love of the Sahaba Ikram for Abu Bakr. But what I want to show you is the Sahaba Ikram's determination. And you want to straight away compare yourself with the Sahaba Ikram. They met and they interacted, etc. But you have that levels. Umar radiallahu anhu is delivering the khutbah on a Friday. On a Jummah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is delivering the khutbah on the minbar. So you can imagine that the masjid is full to capacity. Right? It's a Jummah, people come from far and wide, and it is Umar radiallahu anhu that is delivering the khutbah. And Hazrat Usman just pulls in with the slightest delay. And from the minbar, in the presence of the hundreds and thousands of people, right, none other than the son-in-law of Rasulullah SAW is being reprimanded. Usman, you're coming with a delay. Don't you know it's a Jummah today? Can you handle that? Imagine now you went into one masjid, Imam Sahib from the minbar is giving it to you. I tell you, the greatest buzrug won't be able to do it. He won't be able to handle it. Now you see the level of the Sahaba Ikram's commitment. Do you see the loyalty? Now you want to compare yourself with them. The way it suits us, then the Sahaba Ikram did this. And if it doesn't suit us now, then we are in the 15th century now. How can we compare ourselves against the Sahaba Ikram? So it became an Islam of convenience. So from the minbar, Umar radiallahu anhu is reprimanding Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu says, I was just occupied and I heard the azan. Straight away I made wuzu and I came to the masjid. And you only took wuzu. Don't you know that you need to take ghusl when you come for Jummah? Now, taking ghusl was sunnat or mustahab. At the maximum, sunnat, right? But he's being reprimanded from the minbar in the presence of all those thousands of people that are gathered there. And Usman's relationship with Umar has not been affected to the least. The proof to that is when Umar radiallahu anhu is stabbed, right? He's stabbed and he's making out a council and who is going to appoint the next successor to the throne. Who's going to appoint? And amongst that is Usman radiallahu anhu as well. That this person was amongst those who Rasulullah SAW had taken very dearly. He had been pleased with them right till the very end. So when there was a point of correction, he corrected him. Right? Where there was a point of correction, he corrected him. And he didn't feel any reluctance within him to correct him. On the side of Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu didn't feel any disgust within him. This man here, in front of this audience, and I'm being reprimanded. Don't he know, doesn't he know that I'm the son-in-law of Rasulullah SAW? What does he think of me? Okay. So you see the level. So you can't compare yourself to them. You behave according to the level that you belong to. They did according to the level that they belong to. You're still crawling. They were running and flying, and we're still crawling. In fact, not even crawling, learning to crawl still. So how can we ever compare ourselves with this group of people? So we are talking about Walid ibn Mughira and how the wretched person, how he got deprived perpetually, lost forever. There's no point of return, no point of reverse. Sometimes we think, you know, we are falling and we are falling and we're falling, and we don't see the return. Why are we falling so deeply? Why are we falling so badly? But do you see, sometimes you commit a wrong in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, it's serious. And you don't consider it as a serious thing. In the sight of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, it's a serious thing. And you take it very, very lightly. And then you find your decline coming very swiftly. And sometimes the worst thing is that it's coming so swiftly that you don't even realize that you are falling down. That's even worse. When you're falling and you realize, no, I'm falling, I need to do something to come up. And the other fall is this, that you are falling, you don't even realize. وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. I give them a respite. And my plan is very mighty. You can't bypass my plan. You can't overtake my plan. So it's a serious thing. When you find the slightest change in the pattern, then you need to correct yourself. These Buzurgan ad-Din, they were the reverse of us. Our system is such, okay, we got barakat in the shop, we made 10 million in place of 500,000, it's so much of barakat. Allah Pak likes me, man. Allah Pak likes me. Rabbi Akraman. What's the verse before that? Ammal insanu idha mabtalahu rabbuhu faakramahu wa na'ama fayaqulu rabbi akraman. When everything is working out, hey, investments are coming right, properties are coming right, health is right, everything is moving, everything is working out. Idha mabtalahu rabbuhu faakramahu wa na'ama. When he's blessing him, Allah is blessing him, hey, Allah Pak loves me. Allah Pak is honoring me. See, if he didn't, love me, he wouldn't have blessed me like this. See how our reasoning goes. So the whole reasoning is on material. As the material progresses, our love also progresses. We feel that we are progressing in our love. فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُودُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. But the moment there is a constraint, then we say, no, Allah Pak is now disgracing me. Everything is not working for me. Things are not working out for me. I'm doing this. Nothing is working out for me. So you see, the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a relationship of love. Hadi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, ke hum to aashik ihsani hai. If we are aashik of Allah ta'ala, it's because of his favors. So we need to tell him all the time, Allah ta'ala, just keep your favors with us. Just keep your favors with us. Otherwise, we don't know what will happen to us. The favors that we want, everything must come in nicely and easily and must go out easily. It must come in nicely and must go out nicely. Then we are very good. We'll behave, we'll do everything. But is some inconsistence in that, not going in well or not coming out well. What happens? All our love is gone. Love is forgotten. So people like us, that we need to keep begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ihsan of yours, Allah Pak, please don't change it. Myself, I'm too weak. I can't handle it. So we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way because of our weakness. Though the mutaqaddimin, the people of the past were such, when they came into the stages of constraints, their love progressed. Constraints, difficulty, hardship, and their love progressed. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi Alayh, he says in his childhood, that there used to be always famine in the home. There's a constant famine, no food, hardly any food. And my mother would announce, Khuda, hum aaj Khuda ke mehman hai. Hum aaj Khuda ke mehman hai. And he says, I used to feel so pleased. And my mother would just announce in the home, that hum aaj Khuda ke mehman hai. I would feel so nice about it. Some buzruk went that way, and as he's going that way, he saw us living in constraint. He said, alright, what you do, take this and buy this type of atta, and he made some dham or whatever dua, and I think just went on moving. So he says now, as a youngster, as a young boy, He's longing for the day when the mother will come out and say, Beta, hum khuda ke mehman hai aaj. Son, today we are the mehman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was these Buzrugan Adeen. Our position is such today that we are ashik man ashik ihsani. The favors carry on pouring, our love will carry on. But definitely there will be a difference in our love and our relationship when we don't see the favors. So we don't compete ourselves, we don't compare ourselves with the Sahaba Ikram. They were a league of their own. People generally say that, alas, had we been in the time of the Sahaba Ikram, I tell you, you won't be able to put up with that level of sacrifice, that type of difficulty. We don't know what our position would have been. Maybe we would have been the worst of munafiqeen. When I see ourselves today, it's a blessing that Allah brought us in this age. Had we been in that age, what would have happened to us? So we were talking about Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashabal jannah. Allah granted this Quraysh everything, material favors, security, mental, everything is secure. They got their position and all that. And then they desisted, they wronged, they disobeyed. In fact, they had driven away the Nabi from Makkah Mukarramah. What wrong did the Nabi do to them? No wrong. All he said was La ilaha illallah. And on account of that La ilaha illallah, he's been driven away from his hometown. فَذَاقَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ. So when you begin to disregard the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah ta'ala, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you begin to disregard these things, Allah ta'ala still gives you respite. He still gives you respite. No, mere bande, my servant, he can't understand things. Abhi tak nadan hai bichara. He is still weak in his understanding. Let me give him some respite. I was explaining that incident of that youngster, and I went on to say that this beauty comes and this attraction comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man outwardly he's got nothing. But what makes you attracted to the person is that light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it is just an external beauty, that's all. There's no satisfaction, there's no fulfillment. You see, halal, tayyib, pure righteousness, it's got an attraction. You want that fulfillment, then come on this end. In the old days, there were women, right? And just to build up on the attraction, they would go on to righteousness and virtue. Keep rozas, get up with tahajjud. Right? Just simple solution. Right? Now you're buying so much of cosmetics, beautician, and the salon, and whatever you're doing, but still, by no appeal. Why is it that there's no appeal? You're doing everything that is not righteous. Doing everything, and you want to cover up. You just want to put up a mask over the face and show that beauty, so that beauty, there's no beauty. It's artificial. And everybody can see that it's artificial. It's just a veneer. You just tear that veneer and you see the rot. So the real satisfaction, real beauty comes with righteousness. It comes with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connect yourself and He will guide you. He will correct you. He will create that love for you. People will begin to love you for no reason, no material reason, but they've got a liking for you, they've got a muhabbat for you. Such a simple procedure, the Quran Sharif, the hadith is showing us, but no, we can't seem to understand it. Now this is the missing link in Quran, the missing link that we have between us and the Quran, the missing link between us and the hadith. The missing link is, we don't have that level of yaqeen in the unseen. I'll come to that just now, inshallah. That missing link is, we don't have that level of conviction in the unseen. I will do this, Allah Ta'ala will work it out for me. I will do this, Allah Ta'ala will work out for me. So I can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nor is there anything that I can see that is tangible, that this is what I'm going to get. Right? I'm going to work here, right? At the end of the month, I'm going to get so much. I can see the tangible thing. I can see the voice, I can see the papers, everything is written. So I'm going to get this. And here there is nothing, I can't see it. But that Muslim's yaqeen is that I will do it, Allah Ta'ala will see me right. He will see me right. All I need to do is just to comply, just to conform, just to agree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's my work. The rest of it is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mustn't stress beyond that point. All I need to do is just to comply, just to conform. The rest of it, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In His own time, He will do it for me. But why must I stress? Why must I panic? When I got Allah ta'ala on my side, I'm doing it for Him. Why must I stress? Why must I panic? Why must I become lost in this? Allah Pak asked me just to follow the procedure. Let me follow the procedure and then leave it to Him. He knows when this is meant for me. As Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Sahib Rahmatullah, someone brought him an old bag of gold coins. Gold coins. The one gold coin today, last week someone was telling me that he's got over 22%. So what was 10,000 has gone to 14,000. Right? So how ice pops out? And this person brought a whole bag of gold coin to him. Mawlana says, Mawlana, please give it to someone else. So no, Mawlana, I want you to take. So no, see, it doesn't seem like Allah Ta'ala wants this wealth to be with me because He feels I'm not the right person to handle this wealth. Had I been the right person to handle this wealth, He would have given it to me directly. So He's given it to you, He hasn't given it to me. So you seem to be the recipient of this. Had I been the right recipient of this wealth, then He would have given it to me. Why had He given it to you? So you seem to be the more eligible person than myself. You see how these people reason, a breed of their own. So this youngster, he's going to the masjid. An en route to this masjid is this young girl that is eyeing him. And now she can't just resist. She can't just resist. Right? And now, to gain the satisfaction of a girl, what will you do? Blackberry and whiteberry. And what are the berries? Blueberries. Gee? And how we will pine for them? How will we talk to them? Gee? Nauzubillah. This is really, really upsetting. Really upsetting. We can't even, the loyalty with a small person, we can't. Then the loyalty with Allah Ta'ala, how will we ever respect that loyalty? We don't have that loyalty, that respect. We don't have it in our eyes, not in our system. We don't have the loyalty with an ordinary person. And then we say we got iman. This is the level of that iman. A small little girl comes there, secretary comes there, whatever else. Everything breaks down within us. All the systems within us just break off. We can't have that loyalty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any longer. And then we want to know, why don't we have the security within this country? We're talking of all the big things, but these small, simple things, we can't stand up for all these things here. And then we want to know about the bigger things. You look after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see, I will take care of you. All you need to do is look after Him, take care of Him, and see, He will look after you. So anyway, this girl eventually somehow manages to corner him. And then she says, you know, I've got a lot of things to say to you. But the 1,001 things that I have to say to you, I'm just reducing it to one. Because I know you have to go to the masjid. And I can't stop you from that. But now, you know what? I'm living and I'm dying for you. I sleep and I see you. I get up and I see you. It's as though I'm living your life. I'm not living my own life. Now please, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do something for me. Now this is the gist of what this girl says to this youngster. But then look, on the other hand, look at the level of loyalty this youngster has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, everybody else is there for a short period. Right? Whether it's a girl, whether it's a boy, whether it's whatever else, right? But he's short-lived. How long? Whether it's wealth, whether it's whatever, but it's short-lived. He doesn't have a life. So when a thing is short-lived, then maintain it as a short-lived thing. Don't you consider it, don't believe it to be a thing that has got a life, a perpetual thing. That's the mistake, you see. We consider these things that don't have a life as a thing that has got a life. The thing that is fleeting, we consider it to be eternal. We consider it to be perpetual. That's the mistake. So it's fleeting, let it go. One poet says, Ye kaha ka fasana hai, zood o siya, jo gaya so gaya, jo mila so mila, kaho zhen se, fursat umr kam hai, jo dila, to yaad ilahi dila. He says, what is this all, what is this fight about? You got more, I got less, and I get so much, and you got so much. What is all this fight about? I got so much, you got so much, I want to live, what's going to happen? So what is all this commotion about? Ye kaha ka fasana hai zood o ziya. Jo mila so mila, jo gaya so gaya. What came, it came. What went, it went. So why should, do you stress about this thing here? Why do you cause a commotion about this? Rasulullah is talking to his dearest daughters, Fatima radiallahu anha. Is Ali min mali mashit. Whatever of my wealth you want, take it. But remember, I will not be of any assistance to you on the day of Qiyamah. You need to prepare for yourself. So this is one thing, it's not a train smash. What is really a matter of concern is the akhirat, is the second leg of this journey. This first leg of the journey will pass. Sooner or later, it will pass. But the matter of concern is the second leg of this journey here. That is of essence. Jo mila, so mila, jo gaya, so gaya. What came, came. What went away, went away. You're traveling from here to Johannesburg, right? You have to attend that whole festival where they're going to give you the world award to be the best Muslim. Right? You're going to get that best award, right? Now, when you're there in Johannesburg, will you fight with the other competitors, you know, Junaid, etc.? You're going to fight with them, hey, you know, in this ultra shell, I had tea and burger, what you had? You'll fight about that. You're not going to fight about that, but you had that very good. We want to see who's going to get that award there. That's what we're going to see. You had burgers, I had chips, you had ice cream, whatever else. But the real thing to see is, boy, when we reach up to Joburg, do you get that award or not? Jo mila, so mila, jo gaya, so gaya. What came, it came. What went, it went. So why are you panicking? Why are you stressing about this? Kaho Zain said, speak to your mind. Make your mind understand. Jo dila, so yaad ilahi dila. Oh Allah Ta'ala, if you are blessing Allah Ta'ala, I ask you, I beg you for your remembrance, for your love. Everything else is a fleeting thing. The more you run after the fleeting thing, it will flee. And the more you flee away, it will run behind you. That's the nature of the world. The more you run behind it, it will flee away. And the more you run away from it, it will come behind you. That's the very essence of this world. Anyway, this youngster now is trapped by this girl here. This girl is telling him all the story here. Right? But then this is a point. You know, when you reach that crunch shows the loyalty, the depth of the loyalty. In the time of the Sahaba Ikram, the trials were different. You have to give your life, you have to give your wealth, give everything. Look at people of Makkah Mukarrama, just look at them for a second, just reflect. They're living there from the time of Ibrahim al-Islam, Ismail al-Islam's Olad there. Who's Olad there? Ismail al-Islam's son. So approximately 3,500-4,000 years they're living. How long are you living here in Durban? 1,000 years. See? How long? Even South Africa is not 1,000 years. Yeah, they're living there, they're born and brought up. Their ancestry is all from Ismail al-Islam. They're living here 3,000-4,000 years. From Ibrahim al-Islam's time, right till Nabi al-Islam's time. And then, because of their deen, they're running away from Makkah Mukarramah. Can you imagine? They have to leave Makkah Mukarramah, leave their properties, leave their wealth, leave their children many a times. Leave them just on account of their deen. Do you see the level of loyalty? So this is what Allah Pak wants to see. You love me, or is it just a lip service? Do you see, I want to see my loyalty. I want to see the faithfulness. You want the same thing from your wife, don't you want that? From your child, what do you want? You want loyalty. You want respect. From the wife, what do you want? Loyalty, respect. Allah Pak is asking you the same thing. What's the degree of loyalty? What's the degree of respect? Here, you show your loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There, you're performing namaz and you got the phone on. You're performing namaz and you got the musical tone on. Is this the degree of loyalty that you have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As though it's your first night with your wife, right? And cell phone messages, etc. coming from all your ex-girlfriends. Is that tolerable? Just think to yourself, how unloyal is that person at that time? Or for example, just swap the thing around. Swap the thing around. Right? You are with your... It's a first night with your wife. She's a bride. And phone calls are coming on her phones from her ex-boyfriends. How will you take it? Now you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and these things are happening. Really, you know, we just think for a moment, where's the loyalty gone? Where's the respect gone? Where's the muhabbat gone for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this the muhabbat? Is this the level of commitment? Do you still believe in him that he is your creator? He brought you out of non-existence. Do you believe that he granted you all his compassion, this intelligence and understanding and reasoning with which you are generating income and doing your things? Do you still believe that he has loved you and he's shown you all that mercy? Do you still believe in that? It doesn't seem like, from your behavior, it doesn't seem like you have that level of muhabbat, that level of loyalty, that level of faithfulness. You don't have it. Now, these type of situations are brought, Allah Ta'ala brings about these situations. We don't have that level of sacrifice, at that level of determination like the Sahaba Kiram, where they had to make that type of sacrifice after 3,500 years, leave your town. We have a very weak commitment. So Allah says, look after your eyes, please. Look after your ears. Look after your tongue. Look after your heart. These 3-4 things, just take care of it. So the youngster, when he's cornered now, and he's got no way to run away, so finally he leaves the girl, goes to namaz, etc. And like it is the teaching of the hadith, that لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا, don't make your homes into qabristan. Your homes, read some nafil namaz, some Quran Sharif, some zikr, some tilawat in your homes. In the qabristan, you don't go and read nafil namaz there, do you? You don't go and make zikr and tilawat there. The zikr, tilawat, Quran Sharif, namaz, etc. you read in the masjid. So some portion of the zikr, tilawat, ta'lim, namaz, read in your home. Now you want to know, why are there fights there? Why don't I don't get the satisfaction? Why don't I get the happiness? Why don't I get that fulfillment in my home? Do you bring about this amal there? Or you only know how to break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your home, shining before the screen, whatever else. And you don't want to be watched. You don't want to be watched. So, if you are breaking the loyalty with Allah Ta'ala, that's alright. That's understandable. But the loyalty with your wife you mustn't break. That's what you are saying. The apparent loyalty with your wife, you mustn't break. But with Allah Ta'ala, it's alright, I can break the loyalty. Is that fair? Just think for yourself. Just reflect over these things here. Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, he had received scriptures, you know. So one sahabi had asked Rasul Pasam, what was the contents of the scriptures? What was the contents of the scriptures? So Rasul Sam explained, this was the contents. There were a lot of advices. One advice that was given there, that O person that is in power and influence, I haven't blessed you with this wealth and this influence that you won't pile up wealth. But I've blessed you with power and influence so that the curse of the unprivileged person may not reach myself. Because if the curse of the underprivileged person comes to me, then there is no barrier in the acceptance. He's underprivileged. And you are exploiting him. You are hurting him. And then it is his baddua and his curse that is reaching. There is no veil that is between him and myself. And the next line of nasiha, the next line of advice was, okay, it is compulsory for every person to spend some time in reflection. Sometimes in reflection, it's compulsory. Take an account, take a hisab of what you're doing. Take a reckoning of yourself. What are you doing? How are you conducting yourself? Are you just carrying on with the flow? Are you reflecting? Do you understand where you came from? Do you understand where you're going to? Do you understand what you're doing? What's your conduct with your people, with your children, with your wife, with the people that you're interacting with your parents? Do you understand what you're doing? Are you reflecting over these matters? So every Muslim needs to reflect. He needs to reflect. Otherwise he will deflect. You don't reflect, you will deflect, you will go off. So this youngster, he's returned home and is engaged in that nafil namaz. But he sees now his mind is not functioning. I don't have that attention, that focus in my namaz. My mind is all getting all upside down. So after the namaz, he pulls out a piece of paper. He writes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then he writes to this girl here, respected girl, sister. When a person flouts the command of Allah Ta'ala for the first time, Allah Ta'ala overlooks him. He's my servant. I know the weaknesses my servants will have, so I've overlooked him. Second time, alright, never mind. He's a youngster, 14, 15, 16. He's in experimental stages. Never mind, forget it. I will overlook him. But then he carries on. Second time, third time, now he's becoming habitual. Then Allah Pak says, when he's becoming an addiction, he's becoming habitual. The Allah Pak says, now the earth and the skies, the heavens will become constrained upon you. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. In spite of its vastness, in spite of its wide expanse, yet the earth is all strangling you. It's tightening up upon you. Everything is squeezing upon you. You don't find satisfaction. You don't find happiness. You've got all the varieties in your home, cake and pastry and chocolate, whatever else you've got. But there's no satisfaction, no fulfillment. You've got the vastness of your rooms and your homes. There's no person that is sharing the home with you. But you still feel constrained within your own home. So he says that you go and commit and break and flout the command of Allah Ta'ala, in spite of the vastness, you'll find yourself constricted, constrained, straitened circumstances. See? So this is the system of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. All we need to do, simple, straightforward, clear path. Taraktukum ala tariqatin bayda. I've left you on a straight path. Layluha wa naharuha sawa. There's no ambiguity on this path. It's absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. Just connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be a humble servant. Submit to Him. Surrender to Him. Where you are doubt, where you are in doubt, leave it out. Where you are absolutely clear, carry on. Where you got a half a percent doubt. Half a percent doubt. Don't do it until you have clarified the whole thing. Alim, or a person that is experienced, ask him about it. I'm not sure about this thing. What do you think about it? It's not worth the while. You're breaking the loyalty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this little bit of enjoyment. It's not worth the while. You've got that, but what you have lost, what you've gained, what you've lost. You broke the loyalty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't enjoy that type of love now. What have you gained? So this incident that the Quran Sharif says, Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. We try them out like we had tried the people of the orchard. Quran Sharif speaks in the 29th Sipara, Surah Qalam. Right? Like how we had tested the people of the garden and the people of the orchard, we tried out the Quraysh. We had given them in abundance, and then these people began to go their own ways. They forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we had shown them. فَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوءِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Now, fear and starvation had become so close to them like the garments of their clothes. Like how the garments of their bodies stick to the body, then fear and starvation began to stick to the body. See what's happening here? It's a result of us not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not keeping Him in mind, like how we ought to keep Him in mind. We keep Him in mind like that, then in the heart of the enemy, you will still feel happy. You will still feel easy. Why? You have got Allah Ta'ala at heart. You have connected with Him. No matter where you are, you know you're in contact. You connected the right place. So wherever you are, you feel a deep feeling of satisfaction. No weakness. You don't feel a weakness. You don't feel a feeling of insecurity. You don't feel a feeling of depression. You're in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that you have paid up the monthly fees for the navigator, whatever it was, right? So you know you got a service always. You paid up for the entire year. Don't you feel a feeling of security, a feeling of strength? Now this is an ordinary person. He can go back on his word. Allah Pak never goes back on his word. So these people's father was a very good person. A very good person. Very generous according to the Arab tradition. He would give a good amount of the orchard to the poor. Right? They would reserve a certain area of the orchard, you take it. Poor come the season, take, help yourself. Dates or grains, whatever you all want, you all take. Because date and grain was like their food. How we have atta and all these things here. So that was like the staple diet. And that was the staple diet, then these people depended on that. When you depend on that, take how much you want. 10%, 15%, take. Allah Pak has given us, you enjoy, we'll enjoy as well. So Allah Ta'ala also gave them. But then when these youngsters, when they got to the helm of the affairs, when they took on from their father, now they began to say, you know, our father, he was in a different age. He didn't have so many responsibilities. We have got so many more responsibilities. He was one, and we are so many, we are several. Right? And number two, father was a little backwards. You know, he was doing all outdated things. We are in a modern times. We've got so many responsibilities. Don't you see now how many takazas the wife has got? That time the wives didn't have so many takazas. They want this type of curtain, that type of finishing, and that type of lighting, and that type of tiling and all they want. So that time they didn't have all this type of takazas. They want this type of kitchen, with that type of marble, granite top and all that. So that time they didn't have all these takazas. So now they got this type of takazas now. So our father is outdated. That now the different chapter, just close the chapter, don't talk about it now. They actually went and said these type of things. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. See, the Quran Sharif gives a graphic description of human temperament. You know, a human temperament, it just gives the exact description of human temperament. It captures it complete. The same temperament will flow all the age. This zamana, after 10,000 years, then still the same human temperament. He is the maker, so he knows the human temperament. He knows exactly. What goes through your mind, he knows it exactly. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. We created man. Exactly what thoughts run through your mind, we know it. How you behave, how you work, how you understand, how you reason, all that I know it. I was in one shop in Medina Munawara, you know. And now, we are Indians, we work in a different way, right? And there was a person next to me, and he's bargaining. Now, I can see now that Arab, how he's conducting his business. He got one price, 10 riyals, right? So when Indian pulls in, so he understands now this is an Indian, like me, right? So he says, all right, 15 riyals, so make it cheap, all right, 10 riyals, take it. So he knows the temperament. He knows the temperament now, what are you going to come up with? So he's worked it out according to your temperament. He knows exactly, Allah Pak has created us, he's made us. So he knows exactly what's the temperament like. So when these people change, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. They changed. And they said amongst themselves, they're still discussing. وَلَا يَسْرِمُونَ إِسْأَقْسَمُوا لَيَسْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَسْنُونَ. So they say, they take an oath. لَا يَدْخُلَنَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. That don't allow any miskin, any destitute and needy to come today. No destitute, no needy must come to you today. That day is gone. We wish to do this charitable work. We wish to do works of generosity. That day is gone. Now it's a different zamana now. So leave that day. Today now we're in a different route. So now we have to think about ourselves. What we need to do for this day is keep raising our standard of living. Forget the miskin and the poor. The standard of living has to be raised all the time. This is what we need to do. See what they're thinking, like how we think today. We're wearing this type of garment, this type of garments we need to wear. This type of holidays they were not going for, this type of holidays we go for, right? This type of finishes they didn't have, we need to have this type of finishes. Is our money spent in anything else? Holiday, flying around, and standard of living just picking up. Is there any other avenue where the money is going? You know, I was explaining them, the family, telling them. The more important thing is to focus towards Allah Ta'ala, connect yourself with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Right? Those people of the past, they have connected themselves to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. As far as the basic needs, they fulfill the basic needs comfortably, right? But then after that, their homes were open to all their relatives, poor, it was open. You'll find, all right, we're living in a foreign land, right? Coming from India, we're living here. So situations will differ. People are coming, some family is not in a very good state. They're living in your home 2 months, 3 months, you're not worried about it. Right? You make the provision for parda, or you make your home in such a way that if a guest, a family has to live, then you got a toilet, etc. They're living there, you are living the rest of the house. Right? So you got that heart. Visitors are coming, guests are coming, unexpected, you've got the heart to feed them, to take care of them. Some family is not in a good state, you're trying to help them. So to get a visitor, to get a guest, to look after a friend and a family, it's a pleasure. You don't tell the person whether directly or indirectly you're squeezing us, you're squashing us up. You don't say these type of things. So that was when there was simplicity, the money was going in the right direction. Now when we left that path of simplicity, we went to all these things, the granite tops and all these things we went to. So we're doing all the kitchen up, we're flying around everywhere, But these avenues of sawab you're getting deprived of. Looking after that guest, looking after that mihman, looking after the needy, taking care of ourselves, taking care of our friends, relatives, immediate or extended. All we are deprived of. Why? We just left that levels of simplicity, gone to a higher level. So all these avenues that were the avenues of sawab, we're getting deprived of. So the real way is come back to simplicity. The original thought. That surplus money, then you have surplus money. Now you think to yourself, now this surplus money, where do I spend it? Let me spend it on the right places, on the right avenues. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib.